Welcome to The Quill and the Quantum, the podcast where we explore the intersection of artificial intelligence and the art of writing. I'm your host, Kathy Norris, and in each episode, we'll talk to those authors and other creatives who use or refuse to use AI in their writing process. As it turns out, April is National Poetry Month, and I thought it would be fun to explore one of the biggest issues surrounding AI, which is people's discomfort with their inability to tell the difference between AI-generated content and human creativity. And how are we going to do this? We're going to have a contest, and that's why I call this episode AI versus the Poets. And so our guests today are two poets, Mari Riddell and Paul Garza Jr. Mari recently retired after 34 plus years as president CEO of Grand Performances, a performing arts organization in downtown LA. As a performer, Mari has toured North America and recorded 4 albums. Mari, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kathy. And it's Riddle.
A riddle?
Like,
is like it a riddle?
R-I-D-D-L-E.
I love that.
My great-great-grandfather was an Irishman. Yeah.
Oh, that is fabulous. Mari Riddle, that makes it even easier.
It does, yeah.
Thank you for the correction.
You're welcome. Good morning, everyone.
And my great-great-grandmother was Irish.
There you go.
Oh, well, then the background should be green today. You know, I've got to do this
again. I'm blue. So are you.
Both via Mexico, so I mean.
There you go.
There you go.
Because yeah, that's the other part. That's the other part of us, right, Paul?
In the other corner, holding it down for the humans, is Paul Garza Jr. Paul began writing poetry at the age of 13 and has published 3 volumes of poetry, as well as being published in literary journals. He is retired from a career in community economic development that included working for community colleges, nonprofits, local government, and the private sector. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And so these are the rules of engagement. basically, we've got our human poets, and we also have poems that were generated by AI chatbots, 2 of them, one of them being ChatGPT, which people are most familiar with, another which is called Claude AI. Both humans and artificial intelligence were given the same prompt. We're looking for poems around the theme of temptation. And so what we're going to do is, I planned that we were going to flip a coin, but instead I'm going to ask that you guys choose a number between 1 and 10. We're going to have our authors read both their poem and the AI-generated poem, and the other author is to guess which is which. Does that make sense, Mari and Paul?
Yes, it does.
Okay, then. I'm writing a number down between 1 and 10. And whoever's closest to it will go first. So, Mari, what number would you select?
I'd say 4.
You'd say 4. And Paul, what about you?
7.
7. Well, the number I selected was 3. So, Mari, you're the closest.
Okay.
And so you get to go first. And again, you're not to tell us which poem is. You can choose whatever poem you want to go first. Don't let us know if it's yours or the AI-generated poem, because we're going to, Paul's going to have to guess.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Listen up, Paul. Temptation. In the hidden corners of our minds, temptation lurks. A silent predator weaving its intricate web. It seduces with promises of pleasure, drawing us in. Yet beneath its surface lies the risk of unraveling. In the dance between desire and restraint, we navigate, tiptoeing on the edge of surrender, mindful of the fall. Temptation. Rich crimson color enveloping rings of crisp taste. Edible pebbles that comforted me through childhood. Savory smells that embellish all they touch, a wrap that puffs on a hot comal, waiting for a scrumptious filling. These stowed away behind closed doors, beckoning me as I travel this new journey.
The second one is your poem.
Bravo, Paul. Yeah. So, Paul, what were the giveaways? Because you were very definitive right out the gate, you know, about the second one. What were the signals?
The first poem was a very generic. So that was, and I immediately from the very beginning, from the first words, I thought, no, that doesn't ring. It just didn't ring true. Then I also have to confess, I know Madi and for a long time. And so it just, that the second poem felt like her.
You know, thank you, Paul. I think the thing that was a dead giveaway for me, if I didn't already know, was the word Kamal. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, that is a human being. That is a human voice. Most definitely. Mark, can you talk about your writing process? How long did it take you to write the poem? Did you do it in one sitting? Talk to us about that.
I thought about it more than I thought about it more time than I wrote. Mm-hmm. So I, you know how they say you get a lot of imagination when you're in the shower.
Okay.
Okay. That's when I had my greatest ideas for my jobs. I'm like, oh yes, let's do this. Anyway. So about 4 hours, I guess, you know, in a sense of thinking about it, of what to do about it, how, what was really my temptation at the particular time. Okay. So the subject matter, what I would write about. So it was about 4 hours total thinking about it, you know, and how I would approach it. Mm-hmm. And then I was on my way to the airport and I shared my ideas with my sister and my nephew.
Wow.
And I said, I think this is what I'm going to do. And then we toyed around with some words, you know, for adjectives, because I'd come up with different adjectives. And then, so that helped. And then so that was about 15 minutes on the drive to the airport. And then I knocked it out in 10 minutes on the plane. I just said, this is the only time I have to do this. I went to the eclipse, you guys, the solar eclipse.
Oh.
So I said, this is the only time I have to do it. I got to do it now. Because I was on my way to see family and friends, and I just was not going to have the time. So that's what happened. So for total, it was four hours and 30 minutes, 4.5 hours.
Well, the human touch, I think, was just as Paul had identified, was evident right from the beginning. The first poem was very generic. It had no depth to it. But it's easy for me to say because I knew. I should also tell you guys, when I went to, and I think yours was generated by
the GPT.
And I have to tell you, I had to prompt it several times. The first prompt was write a poem about temptation. And it came out with something that rhymed. Mm. And that was and then I said, well, write me a free verse poem about temptation. And then it was write a free verse poem about temptation that's only two stanzas long. I mean, it was, even though it was AI generated, mm-hmm. in order for it to compete with your work, Mari, mm-hmm. it had to be humanized even out of the gate. Right. The original would never have passed muster.
So, and if I may say, I really thought about, should I put in Kamal? But so I knew that would be a giveaway in a sense, but it just doesn't have the same thing when you talk about a griddle. It's just not the same. You know, tortillas don't puff up on a griddle. They puff up on a comal, you know?
Oh, I love it. I did not know, but now I
do. They
do.
They do. It's a whole thing of when you turn the flour tortilla, what precise time and how it puffs up. And yes.
But look at all those human decisions, you know. Should I use this word? Should I not use this word? It might be a dead giveaway. But that's what I would have written,
yeah.
In the absence of the contest. That's the word that speaks mm-hmm. to me. That's your human creativity, right? You know, right there. So fabulous. Paul, any other comments about Mari's poem?
Well, the issue you're raising is, I think, the important one. When we think about artificial intelligence, it's not the technology that's the problem. It's the people who are populating information, data in it, and the limitation. And it's one of my great worries is that there have been several times in the history of the world where there's been a great consolidation of knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. Probably the most important one that still influences us is in the Latin world of the Roman Empire, which still has a tremendous impact upon us to this day. But the other time we might think of is during the Empire of Great Britain, where there was, again, there was all this collection of knowledge, but it was through a very small filter. And we'll be in the same problem with this. What those of us who are have ethnic background or are interested in the world in a broader sense and have understandings or at least some sympathy for people whose culture is different from the mainstream become very concerned, because these people, that we're going to have this same kind of thing again, and so much is going to be left out.
Mm. Very true.
Very true. Mm.
And that's why we need the artists, Paul, and the creatives.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm not going to say anything else. We're going to go to Paul's poem, and then we're going to have our closing thoughts. But Paul, take it away.
Okay, this is the first one. Okay. At the time of the golden twilight, I saw you standing amidst the dazzling sky of violet, blue, orange, gray. At the time of the day and night's love making with its playful shades, explosion of latent colors, unknown greens, ambers, browns, I saw you standing. And my heart thought, which is more beautiful, this time, this woman, or are they the same? Now that you're leaving, my heart sighs, for who shall reveal for me the twilight's mysterious koan. So that's number one. And number two. The sweet siren call, whispering lies of bliss, luring me toward the abyss. Cravings rise incessantly, a hungry python constricting, suffocating willpower's fight. That dark path looks so inviting. Pleasure's haunting promise, baiting the fragile hook. If I stray this once, no one will ever know. I can hide behind the mask. But the aftermath leaves shame, guilt's familiar aftertaste. When will I ever learn? The cycle plays its melody, the same taunting refrain of temptation's cruel game. Why can't I muster the strength to silence that nefarious voice and walk the nobler road?
The first one was yours, Paul.
Yes.
Well, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, anyway. Thank you.
I think the part... that struck me and the poem, the name of the poem is To a Woman. And what I loved about it, what made it very human for me, was that I did not know you were addressing a person until deep into the poem. The line that says, and my heart thought, which is more beautiful? This time, this woman, or are they the same? And I thought, oh my goodness, it snatched me, my heart right there.
That's the one.
That was, yeah, it's like a, you know, your heart's in a vice, because that is so lovely and unexpected and powerful.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate it.
No, it was, but Mari was there, and I don't want to take away the microphone. I'm giving my initial reactions, but I'm touched by your tears, Mari, because isn't that what the poetry and the communication is all about? That human connection, that another human being can put words together in such a way that you are so deeply moved that you're speechless. You know, AI at this point, I haven't seen anything that comes close.
I also think it's how you receive. I get moved to tears with music.
Mm-hmm.
it just hits me, you know. And Paul knows this, you do, but I had a personal loss, and it's going to be 3 years next month. But it's music, it's these words, Paul, they're just, and I could see, I could visualize you, you know, sort of standing there, and it just, and this sort of peace that was, you know, you just painted this incredible portrait that was just beautiful. And so I'm very emotional anyway. I wear my heart on my sleeve. This just hit me.
Well,
so thank you, my dear friend. What's that?
If you don't wear your heart on your sleeve, you can't be very creative, because that's the source of all of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have, this is a perfect segue to a comment. We have a mutual friend, Mari and I, Anna Maria.
And is it Paul's friend?
Oh, you know Anna Maria as well. Yes. That's right. And Anna Maria sent this beautiful text to me this morning at midnight. Number, I will be getting in touch with her to find out why is she texting poetry at midnight. I will definitely do that. But she said, you know, this might be useful for today's podcast. And it's a remark from Robert Frost. And she writes, or he writes, a poem begins with a lump in the throat, a homesickness or a lovesickness. If a poem doesn't give us a lump in the throat, is it really great poetry?
Oh my gosh.
And I think you both have demonstrated that, yeah, that lump in the throat, that vice around the heart is makes for impactful, beautiful poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing and for your creativity.
And thank you for having both of us here together.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It is my absolute pleasure. And so I will warn you now, you will be invited back. And I will be hosting, I think I will be making this a thing as far as inviting poets to come onto the program and create, because it's so beautiful. And I think it's to the heart of the issues that we're dealing with AI today, for sure.
And also it's great because, you know, this country that we live in is pretty anti-poetry. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. And so I think we need to help shift that. I think it's really kind of a hole in our psyche.
I totally agree. What's the saying? The word is mightier than the sword. I think it's definitely true. It's definitely true, as you have both demonstrated today. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Oh, Paul, I meant to ask, how long did it take you to put your poem together?
Yeah.
What happens to me when I write, my best poetry is that it happens to me. I don't know. It just came. I just flowed right out. I may go back. Typically when that happens, I'll let something lie for a period of time, and then I'll go back and maybe work the words a little bit. But this one just came. It just popped.
Wow. Well, the reason I ask is because it took ChatGPT and Claude AI less than 30 seconds to generate the poetry. But this is race. Yeah, less than 30 seconds, but it's not a race. Creativity is not a race. If you need something quickly, what the heck? But it's the creativity isn't a race. So that was my
because even now, occasionally I'll go back and find something. I, you know, keep everything I write in a place, and I'll find something that that I just wrote and didn't do anything with. And it may be many years ago, and I'll go back and I'll work with it. And I'll go, oh, I had something there. And so it comes back to me. Yeah. It's poetry is amazing because it's the first way people expressed the sacred. Okay, they would talk to each other. But when they expressed something sacred, it was in poetry. So all of the ancient scriptures of the world are in poetry. And I think we need to remember that. We're really speaking about something that's beyond us. So there's no time in it. It just...
You know, and I wanted to add something also, Paul. Remember you talked about like for those peoples, right, that are not in the majority, that write the history, that write all this stuff, the danger of those stories and experiences being erased or not kept in the vault, right? It's, you know, I grew up in a Mexican culture and declamaciones, which is your declarations, you would get together, and I had a number of cousins and friends, and it's all improv. Están declamando, you know, they're like speaking. It's like, you know, a word, right? You know, when you're throw down, when you have a battle of words and all this stuff, you know, in other cultures, in Black cultures, you know, it's just like, and it's your sort of wits around you. And there's, you know, these fewer song forms in Mexico called decimas, you know, and in Cuba and different, and it's all improvised. It's about, you know, what the performer sees out in the audience and will start, you know, pointing out to folks, same thing when people are, you know, sort of doing spoken word and all that. And so that is very much alive. The oral traditions are so alive and oftentimes not given the same weight as the written word. And because it's really about, I think the written word is also a very individualized process. You know, you write, you think, you're on your own with your thoughts. And then there's these more communal cultures, which is all about a shared experience that ends up, you know, just going back and forth and improvise. It's like jazz, you know, it's like flowing. And it's just amazing to be part of that. And so I think it's also how we look at creativity and writing and art and poetry and music. You know, do you write, do you think it out, or is it just free flowing? And not that one or the other is, you know, best, but it's almost like it's different and each has different elements and contributions.
Well, here. You both have reminded me that creativity is a spark and a gift and a blessing. And thank you so much for sharing your creativity with the Quill in the Quantum podcast today. You have brightened my world today in a way that words cannot capture. For me, that's rare. Normally, I can find words to express, but my heart is full. It's full, you guys, with the beauty of your language today. And I'm deeply grateful. Thank you.